Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Please help us to put any burdens that we might carry at the foot of the cross, to be still, as we've just sung, and focus on you as we reflect on safeguarding from a Christian perspective. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at safeguarding this morning, we're going to explore three things together. First, we'll explore the biblical basis of Christian safeguarding. Then Sarah, a safeguarding officer, will give us some practical tips on what to look for and how we can protect others and ourselves. Then finally, I will finish with an example of how safeguarding works out in practice. So sit back and let's get going. Now, although safeguarding in the workplace has been around for many decades, it's only come to the fore in the Anglican Church in about the last 10 years or so. Sadly, following a number of high-profile abuse cases in the press. Most of us, I guess, will have probably seen the headlines and heard the stories about how the church has got it wrong and people have been harmed. This naturally causes us to ask the question, how could this evil ever happen? After all, safeguarding promotes a safer community for us all, but particular children, vulnerable adults, and those unable to make decisions for themselves. It's a framework that helps us guard against mental, emotional, physical, domestic, sexual, and spiritual abuse. It touches on the lives of all of us here this morning. And in the next few minutes, I want to dig deeper and unpack what safeguarding really is about. After all, safeguarding is intrinsic to our Christian faith, and much about being a Christian. One of the things we can celebrate is that already our churches are safer places than they were a decade ago, but more can be done. And it's easy to be caught up in the procedures, the form filling, and the box ticking, and of course, all those help towards a worthwhile outcome. But let us consider too that being Christ-like in our behaviour means ensuring we take care of everyone, consider others, protect the weak and vulnerable, and have a heart for God's creation. And in that reading from Mark 12 we heard earlier, Jesus refers to the most important commandment of all. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, and without stopping for breath, the second commandment is this, love your neighbour as yourself. Now I want us to notice that Jesus does not say there are no commandments greater than these. He doesn't use the plural. He treats the statement as one commandment. Yes, one commandment. Jesus is saying that we cannot just choose the former without embracing the latter. In other words, for Jesus, there is no division in those words. We can't give our all to God to love him completely and then forget about the rest. No, Jesus ties loving God and loving our neighbour inextricably together. Our love for God is incomplete unless that spreads to loving others too. Wanting for our neighbours exactly what we want for ourselves. That is what safeguarding is, or should be, at the heart of us as Christians. Loving others as we love God. There's so much about church life that's about guarding the well-being of others and the safety of our church members and visitors. The friendly phone call, the pastoral visit, getting shopping, making sure the vulnerable get home safely, bereavement support, hospital visits, children's activities, home communion. The list goes on and on. I'm sure there's many more topics you can think of. It's all about caring for others, making sure they're okay, coming back to loving our neighbour. Safeguarding is also about making sure the people who act on our behalf in the church do so appropriately, respecting privacy and confidentiality, constantly avoiding gossip and so on. As we all know from the high-profile cases in the press, vetting, implementation and procedures are vital in highlighting those who may appear highly respected, do the right thing, and seem very trustworthy, but may be very skillful at hiding dark and evil intentions. So let's take stock of what this is about. We ourselves are all vulnerable at some stage in our lives, some for longer and some for more obvious reasons than others. Some of us may be hiding just how vulnerable we really are. And as a Christian community, we're all tasked with being aware of other people's needs and vulnerabilities and responding appropriately. Within our church fellowship, all of us should be free to ask questions or even disagree in a safe and respectful manner. And as Christians, we're called to love our neighbour whilst being aware that we should also protect ourselves from being caught off guard and finding we're dealing with a situation which is beyond our control. We must ensure that every aspect of church life is executed safely. Now, for the practicality of what we need to look out for and see how we ensure that each of us are safe when we're on church business, I want to hand over to Sarah, our safeguarding officer, who will give us some tips. Sarah, over to you.
Very much, Roy. Good morning, everybody. I think a lot of you know who I am, but if you don't, my name is Sarah Varnum, and I'm the safeguarding officer for this parish. My contact details are on display at various places around the church, should you need them, and also on the church website. I'm also a member of the PCC by invitation and also by appointment, because our church puts safeguarding high on its list of priorities. Why is it important? Well, Roy's, I think, explained that and unpacked that very well. But if I could just add and emphasise that safeguarding is important because it promotes inclusiveness in our church and it allows us to value everybody's contribution. The other title that I have is NAG. Because as a safeguarding officer, I'm afraid I do have to nag. I hope I do it kindly. But it is really important that if you are in a position of responsibility in our church, whether that's as a member of the PCC or whether that's because you're leading a particular group, that you do follow the guidelines issued by the diocese who work on behalf of the House of Bishops. That does mean, for some of us, that there is a lot of training involved. I would say the training is particularly interesting, but you do need to make time to do that, and it is a commitment. Recently, the PCC have been updating their training on domestic abuse, and it's quite harrowing, but it's important for us all to be kept abreast of you know, what's going on in the world and how we can best help people if we need to. So I'm sorry if I'm a bit of a nag, I will say that now, but that is part of my role. Just to say, if somebody comes up to you and expresses concerns, then you need to respond very carefully, please. If the allegation makes you think that the child or the adult is in immediate danger or requires medical attention, then please call the police or social services, ring 999, and then record and report all the information to me or to the incumbent, to Andrea in our case. Andrea and I meet a lot, we talk a lot. If that occurs, she and I will be on the telephone to one another immediately. If the allegation is not an emergency, then please, within 24 hours, will you make a note of what has been said? Will you date and time that note? And will you share it with me? Not, please, with anybody else. I will then follow that up appropriately. If necessary, I will inform the diocese, and if necessary, they will inform other agencies such as adult social care or the police. Really very important, the do's and don'ts. So I'm going to just conclude with these, if I may, because these are very practical tips. I'm sorry if they seem very obvious, but when you find yourself in a situation when somebody is saying, disclosing abuse, you don't always think very clearly. I have been there, others in this room have been there too, and it's can be quite upsetting. So try to stay calm is the first thing. Listen. Take what you are hearing seriously. Remain calm. Use only open questions. And the way you talk, the way you listen, the way you sit, the eye contact you use, that's all really important, particularly depending on people's ages and their level of understanding. So check and say, I am going to take some notes here. I'm going to write these things down because I have to do that. And I am going to believe what you tell me, and I am going to follow it up. And so please, then, once you have that information and you've checked with the person talking to you that they're happy with that, then you need to contact me or indeed Andrea. My deputy, by the way, is Jill Long, the warden. So if you couldn't get hold of any of us, then Jill would be your next port of call, please. Tell the child or the adult what you're going to do next. I am going to share this with Sarah. She will follow it up. I do believe you. We are listening and we want to help you. However, do not make promises that you cannot keep. So you've really got to think of the words that you use, and the fewer words that you use, sometimes the better. Don't make assumptions about the situation. You might think, oh my goodness, that son of hers is dreadful, doesn't do all the right things. Try not to do that, please. Try to just listen to what you're hearing. Do not investigate. It is not your job to do that. And do not contact the person about whom the allegations have been made. Also, equally, you know, if there was concerns about physical health, please, it seems obvious, but don't do any medical examination or checking. Just remember very clearly what your place is in all of this. If you can follow those simple guidelines, if somebody is in trouble, then we can follow that up, help them appropriately. I am a representative on the diocese, on the Parish Safeguarding Officers Group, so I am informed of any updates that we need quite regularly. We have Zoom meetings once a month, so that's really helpful, so I can learn from other Parish Safeguarding Officers about the situations they have and good practice that's around us, because we can all learn from one another. And this afternoon we have a celebration in Christchurch Cathedral, which I will be attending along with Andrea to consider the work that we do and to thank Lord for his guidance in our roles. So thank you, all of you, for listening, and I hope that that's been helpful to move forward.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for those advice. Greatly appreciated. I want to now finish with a story by sharing you a brief story from a very close teacher friend of mine, which illustrates much of what we've been saying. One day during her teaching career in a special needs school, she was summoned to the school office. There she found two police officers who told her they'd attended a domestic abuse incident the previous evening and found a disabled 10-year-old boy with freshly bruised legs. Upon questioning, he said, "My teacher did it." Although shocked, the teacher friend thought it likely the child felt safe accusing her, because if he had been honest and said it was my mum, soon after the police had left her the home, he had been in for another beating. His mum had already been banned from the school premises due to abusive and threatening behaviour. All the staff and the chair of governors were subsequently interviewed. Each one stated that the teacher was never alone with the pupil in accordance with the school safeguarding policy. And after four tense days, the police concluded there was no case to answer. You'll be encouraged to know that shortly after that incident, the boy's dad visited the school to say he's proceeding with the application for a permanent custody order for his son, so they could start a new life together elsewhere and safe. That's what safeguarding is about, protecting others and protecting ourselves. Let me now close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to just reflect on what we've heard this morning. And we ask you to make each of us observant to our own behaviour and that of others, to ensure we protect the vulnerable in our society and ourselves. Please help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to love you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbours as ourselves. We ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen.